Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from our beautiful Studio B. And I have a wonderful guest with us, Matt Winkler. Why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. I think this is, if we looked in the archives, I think we could go back 10 years and probably find a Channel 9 video.
Maybe.
Please don't do that.
You could.
But
you could find one with him and I in it as well.
Yeah, right? There's a few of those.
Just
too.
A couple, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you doing now, bud?
Yeah, so I've been working in the data space. So did a bunch of stuff on the big data side of things. And then recently I've been focused on figuring out how we take a lot of these big data predictive analytics, machine learning things,
mm-hmm.
and how do we make them more interesting or better with things like the bot framework and cognitive services and kind of some of the other cool stuff that's happening at the company.
So I love a bot framework. I love cognitive services. But before that, there's an event that you're speaking at coming up soon, yeah?
Yes. So it's occurring concurrently with Ignite. It's the Microsoft Data Science Summit. It's a two-day event, Monday and Tuesday of the last week of September.
Okay.
The exact dates. 26th, maybe?
Well, we shall find out. Okay. If not, there'll be a link below.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. We're getting together to talk about a lot of the different things that we've got inside of Microsoft and inside of Azure to do data science and machine learning. And so we'll be focused on a lot of the big data technologies, the machine learning technologies, things that we're doing with R. We put Microsoft R inside of SQL Server, and we've got it so you can deploy it on top of HD Insight clusters. So we're talking about a lot of that. Edward Tufte is going to be giving a keynote. So if you're a fan of the any of those fantastic visualization books that he's written, he's going to be there. So
there's four.
They are, and they're beautiful, beautiful.
They
books.
Are. They're beautiful books. I went to his seminar once, and he showed me like old. I was like, this is goodness. And so you're giving a talk there as well, yeah?
Yeah, so I'll be giving a talk there. The talk I'm giving is going to be focused on introducing bots and how to think about bots as kind of the next evolution of a user interface for your application.
So let's obviously we don't want to give away all the content, but let's do a preview for those that are interested in going or maybe looking at recordings that you may or may not have. I hope you do.
Yeah.
Bot framework. How would you summarize bot framework to someone that maybe has heard of it for the first time?
Sure, sure. So let me take it one step back.
Even
and
better.
Talk a little bit about what do we think of as a bot. I was with a customer last week, and it took about 10 minutes for us to realize that we had really, we had a namespace collision.
Mm.
We had very overloaded the term bot.
What did they think it was?
They had kind of taken the bot in terms of like a general autonomous agent. And certainly, you can kind of think about those. Those are very, very interesting things to go build.
Sure.
But really, as we think about it, it's really about a conversational interface that you're going to interact with, typically
right.
through some kind of messaging app.
Okay.
And so what we see is we see a lot of folks who are looking to enable that because it's just an easier way to reach and interact with customers. We're all inside of our messaging apps, you know, much more so than, hey, I need to go buy a pair of pants, and so I'm going to open up that retailer's app on my phone.
Sure.
You know, it's much easier for me to be able to send a text message and say, hey, you know, do you have any khakis at the Bellevue Square location? You know, for instance.
Sure.
And so we see a lot of kind of interest in that space, and so that brings us to the bot framework. And the bot framework really is a couple of different things.
Okay.
One is it's a nice programming model for kind of abstracting you away from worrying about, you know, HTTP calls and things like that to focus on a programming model around conversation. So okay. it allows you to do very simple things like, hey, somebody, you know, sent you 2 + 2, you compute on that and return 4 to creating, you know, more complex dialogue chains and how do you have, you know, multi-part conversations and those types of things. The other thing that the programming model gives you is the ability to take advantage of what's happening inside of all the messaging clients. So if you look, all of them are getting richer.
Okay.
And so, you know, they have things so that if you need to pick a date, you know, there's a calendar control that shows up, for instance.
I see.
You know, so it's not just that you have to type in a bunch of kind of random text. You know, all of the messaging apps, whether it's, you know, Facebook Messenger or Kik or you know, even the message app on the iPhones is getting richer and kind of supporting these types of card
sure.
type interfaces. And so it'll let you, you know, return one of those as part of the dialogue. Now the second part that's really cool, the programming model's nice. The second part that's really cool is that we operate a set of services to interact with all of the various channels.
Okay, what do you mean by channels?
Different messaging apps.
Okay, so that would be like your Facebook Messenger versus your Skype versus your Slack.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you can go and author a bot using the bot framework. You can turn around very easily, deploy that.
Mm-hmm.
You can deploy it to Azure websites. You can deploy it to a VM running in Azure.
Sure.
And then you can configure what are the different channels that you want to be able to talk to that. Right,
I
so that
see.
Ranges from, hey, Facebook Messenger or Kik, or do you want to have a bot that listens in a Slack chat room, Skype, and you don't have to change the programming model, but you can kind of turn on all of these different endpoints.
So effectively, you're writing the intelligence of your bot in one place, and then you're adding connectors as you see fit. That's awesome. So here's my challenge, and maybe you can help me, maybe this will lead to the discussion about intelligence. I have seen, because remember in the 90s when it was like, was it 90s or the knots, where all of a sudden like calling a computer was all the rage. And then they'd be like, please say your name. And you're like, Seth. And they're like, please state your name. And you're like, please say a number, 7. I did not understand that, 7. You know, how do we prevent that from happening?
Yeah, so there's... And this does get into kind of the intelligence conversation too. I think there's a couple of different things that are happening. One is if you take that route, just you know, year over year, month over month, kind of we're getting better. We the industry,
sure. So
the royalist we, I can say,
sure.
Are getting better at speech recognition.
Okay.
And so that's kind of down that path and kind of for speech activated things. That continues to improve. We see customers starting to do some interesting things there about wanting to be able to, you know, identify callers based on voice, or you know, be able to do, you know, emotion recognition from voice to be able
sure.
to understand, you know, is this person irritated? Those types of things. But the second thing is, you know, and I think there's this kind of back and forth that's really interesting in the bot space when you think about kind of messaging. Which is kind of how much natural language processing do you do?
Right.
And, you know, kind of there's the, I want to be so completely kind of open-ended, you know, kind of Cortana-like experience. Cortana, tell me about the, tell me about the Cardinals game last night.
Sure.
And, you know, that's a very robust, broad, complex system that we've built and that, you know, other folks have similar ones. But I think what you see in a lot of cases is people wanting to customize to a domain.
Okay.
So that starts to reduce the problem space. And then you do see, particularly with a lot of texting things, or a lot of messaging-based things, you know, falling back into a guided experience.
I see.
You know, and so the author of a bot has to always kind of be sensitive to how much can I interpret from what you said versus saying, wait a minute, let's imagine we've got a banking bot. Hold on, you know, do you want to talk about your account balances? Do you want to transfer funds? You know, it can, and kind of bring the user back into the path of, you know, the problem that needs to be solved.
I see, and it feels like, because we've been trying to make a bot for Channel 9, and we're probably gonna make one where you can talk to it and ask it, hey, tell us about the video, blah, blah, and it'll say, hey, how about these? The thing about that I've realized is that there's no UI design. I guess UX is the more appropriate term. UX design for these bots is still important. You still have to know, well, these are the range of things that this bot will help you with, and how do we guide the user into those experiences in an appropriate way?
You know, like, I'll get a really common question when I'll kind of talk to customers about it, which is like, oh, well, what will my bot do if somebody says, I'm sad today? And at the end of the day, it will do exactly what you tell it to go do.
Right.
You know, and if you're a bank, you know, you probably don't have a recognition of intent. You know, that doesn't really match to, you know, account balances or open a new insurance account or something. And so you end up almost having a global exception handler,
sure,
for lack of a better word, which, you know, kind of says, hey, okay, what do you want to actually do today?
It's like when if I'm in an awkward situation and that kind of is like, hey, Seth, I'm sad today, I'd be like, Okay, that is not one of the experiences we handle at this time. Would you like to look at your account balance or do a transfer?
Yeah. And then, you know, where it does get interesting into kind of the UX design is how do you start to create a personalized experience? You know, because how much do you want someone to think that they're interacting with something that has personality? And so if you look, you know, there's any number of kind of things you can go ask, you know, an agent like Cortana, where it'll come back with kind of a little quirky response, you know, with a little wink, you know, and that's designed to make it a little bit more personal. And so, again, that's kind of, you can kind of get the core out of the way, and then how do you make it engaging for customers? I think the second thing that you kind of brought up with the Channel 9 bot example is it really pushes into the machine learning space and into the intelligence space, because oftentimes you want to create a personalized experience for the person who's interacting with the bot. And so, you know, for Channel 9, I want to understand, you know, what are the videos that you've liked? What are the videos you haven't liked? What's the index of videos that you guys have to be able to suggest, I see that you like C#. We've got an interview coming up with Mads and Dustin next week. Do you want to add a calendar reminder for that?
Nice.
Right? And so, but like, if you think about that, that's a little bit of the programming in the bot that's drawing on an understanding of the interesting information that you've got, and then something about me, the user. You know, like, oh, I just rated my third C# video with 5 stars. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to be very, very interested in this.
So here's the experience I've had with bots, because I've written one. It wasn't the Channel 9 one, it was another one. It was just a fun one to see how it worked. But I've seen that there's a lot of bots that literally devolve into another command line interface.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this sort of spectrum between command line interface, you might as well be using PowerShell, to something that's more interesting, but not, it's still abbreviated in sort of tone or space. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of bridge that gap?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, good old fashioned
elbow grease.
No, again. UI design, right? Like, I mean, you have to know who your customer is, know what they're trying to do. Even the scenario you talk about devolving to the command line, you know, there's an interesting bot somebody at Microsoft has written called the AD bot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hooked up to Active Directory, Microsoft's Active Directory. And so I can go and I can send a text message to it, and I can say, where is Seth's office? Or who is Seth? And it'll come back and it'll tell me. Now, the nice thing about that, you could kind of say like, oh, that's just the devolved command line.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's still useful.
It's very useful, because when I'm walking across campus or I'm driving in my car, everything's set up for me to send a text message.
I see.
Right?
I see.
Otherwise, I have to open up my calendar app, or I have to find kind of the people app. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're in my contact list, maybe you're not. Somehow I have to search.
I'm probably not.
You have to search the global address book. now that's really awkward. I have to
go. Yeah. But so what you're saying,
I can put you in. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that command line bot is still okay if that's the experience that you want.
Like, if that's the thing you're trying to go do. Now, if you're authoring, you know, something for like a bot for a retail store, you know, a store that sells clothing, and it devolves into press 1 for pants, press 2 for shirts.
Mm.
You know, that may still be useful from the fact that it's, you know, more, it's in the place where a customer's at rather than kind of me having to go to their website or their app. But I think in a lot of cases, when you get to that, you miss out on a lot of the opportunity for personalizing, and for being a little bit more engaging.
And I guess that if that experience sort of makes it so that it takes longer with your bot than to just go to the website and type in search, then maybe you need to rethink how you're making your bot, right? It's because there's different experiences.
Yeah.
But if one is not helpful and the other one is more helpful.
Yeah, I mean, and I think in many ways, these things don't ever kind of replace the other.
No.
I'm going to overload the word, but channels. Like,
sure.
You don't get rid of your website because you have a bot.
No, they're complementary, one would expect.
You know, to me, a lot of people are really interested because, you know, if you think about it, for all of us with like the devices that we've got, like I'm at the point, I'm not going to go and install yet another app, you know, because I'm at the mall and I like this store. Like, I don't really like. Yeah. What am I? I'm not. You know, for the five times I'm going to interact with it,
sure.
I'm not going to open that up. You know, but you know, I'm spending a lot more time in, you know, Facebook Messenger or in Skype. You know, and that's an easy channel for me to kind of reach out.
That makes sense. So let's get into some of the intelligence services, cognitive intelligence services that would sort of complement or assist in developing bots. What are some things in there? Because there's so much stuff in there. What are some things, two or three, that you could point out that would help with making intelligent bots?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the one that has the most affinity right out of the gate is something called Lewis.
The Language Understanding and Intelligence Service.
Yes. We have a guy on our team named Lewis.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Who will come with me to briefings, and it gets very, very confusing.
Here's Lewis.
I'm going to demo Lewis, and he stands up in the back. And he's
dancing around, right? So why don't you tell us what Lewis is and how you can use it?
Yeah, so what Lewis allows you to do is have a model that attempts to derive the entities and the intents out of a block of text.
Okay.
And so if I have the phrase, I want to deduct $25 from my checking account, there's a couple different things going on there. The intent is that I want to deduct from my account.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of different entities there. Which account? My checking account.
How much?
What's the amount? $25. You know, and then there may be another entity that's actually required, which is what's the destination?
Right.
Right. And so what Lewis allows you to do is build out for your domain a list of, hey, these are the intents that I want to be able to recognize. These are the entities. And there's kind of a nice model. You know, you can define an intent in terms of requiring other entities.
I see.
And then you can train that. And there's a really nice UI to go and, you know, type in sentences.
And then mark them up, right?
And then mark them up. And it's got a language model on top of it. So it'll start to kind of figure out, you know, deduct, withdraw. Those both, you know, correlate to this action. And then the nice thing is that'll just give you a REST endpoint that you can say, hey, the user said I want to deduct $25 from my checking account. Throw that at the REST endpoint. It'll come back with this JSON payload that'll say, look, I'm 96% certain that the user wants to deduct. You defined three entities, which was amount, destination, and source.
Mm-hmm.
I think with 80% certainty that the amount is $25. The destination is this, and the user didn't provide the source, or I guess the other way around.
So it's a way of taking regular text and converting it into an object of, here's what we need to do with these things.
Yeah, and then the cool thing about it is your app can then react accordingly. And so like if the probability comes back that it's 96% certain it's deduct, that's, you probably don't need it, you can kind of move forward. If it comes back with 75% certainty, you may want to prompt the user and say, hey, I'm pretty sure you want to deduct. Is that what you really want to do?
Yeah.
Or I think you want to deposit in this account. Is that what you want to do?
So it's a way of getting your bot to just sort of auto-magically understand textual speech.
Yeah, and the other thing that's really nice about it is there's a really nice experience to go and say, to learn as you go.
Okay.
There's kind of like this notion of kind of actively learning as the new input's coming in. So I can go and I can see, hey, what are the responses that were not
categorized,
and then I can go and I can
mark
up myself,
yeah.
And then say, "Hey, toss this back into the magic
bucket,
turn it back up, and then you know I'm going to continue to make the model better." And there's REST endpoints if you want to do that programmatically. If you've got a big kind of corpus of text or labeled data, you can go ahead and do that. And so that's one that we see people using a lot. It's kind of an interesting one where, you know, depending on kind of where you fall on the natural language, like how much natural language you put into your bot, like a lot of people will kind of start and say, everything's going to go through Lewis.
And they back off.
And then sometimes they'll back off into a little bit more of a guided experience. You know, again, that kind of goes back to knowing your customers and knowing, you know, and kind of playing around and finding out what works. So that's one that we see a lot of folks interested in. Text analytics is another one. What text analytics allows you to do is look at a single phrase, or actually it could be a very large chunk of text, and extract some things like what are the key phrases, what are the key topics, what's the sentiment of this. You know, so that could be super useful. Imagine you're a travel site and, you know, you're asking someone, hey, how was your stay last night? You know, you would respond differently if they said, oh my gosh, this was the most amazing hotel, to the bathrooms were so incredibly dirty, I'm never staying here again.
Or it was horrible, love the experience.
Yeah.
Just to screw it up.
Yes, yes. That would that could confuse it. Or that would be a case where it would kind of return, you should return back to the user. And, okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, how would you rate this experience?
-7.
Yeah.
we're going to mess with bots now. Sorry, don't do this. You're going to blow someone's server up. Likely an Azure server. Those don't blow up. Those don't work. Yeah, so that's kind of a fun thing. So you have Lewis, you have text analytics, mm-hmm. and it feels like with those two, you get a pretty good broad range of coverage to sort of funnel into your guided experience.
Yeah, yeah, and then you get into, you know, what are you trying to do? You know, we've got you know, one bot we've written that you know, I can go, you know, submit picture caption bot, and it'll go and tell me what's in the picture.
That's exactly the bot I wrote. Okay. Actually, except we had an IT, IoT, we were in Japan in a hackathon to learn about, and we had a little IoT device that took a picture every 10 seconds, put it in blob storage, and I'd be like, hey, what do you see now? And then it'd be like, I think I see a man sitting by a computer.
Yeah. So then you can get into the, you know, the vision API, the face API, the emotion API. So we've got those. We see folks using those. You know, but really the nice thing about that is it's kind of compositional. Like, you can put together
whatever
makes sense, what makes sense for you. You know, so, if you want to do OCR on a doc that somebody had submitted, you could.
So there's pretty much sky's the limit. There's tons of stuff. So let's do this. Can you show us sort of where we can go to learn about the bot framework? And
sure.
Then where we can go for cognitive services, look at Lewis and text analytics for just a second.
Okay. Right, so what we've got here, so if you just go to botframework.com, this is the easiest way to get started by clicking on Get Started. This will go into a bot that I've written, which is my first demo bot. I'll show the code for this in just a sec. This is all super, super easy to get started. You can get up and running with a bot locally in probably under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and then turn it around and deploy it to something like Azure App Services, which is what I did. Then you're up running in Azure. And so here I deployed it to Azure websites. And then if you just go there, I put the very basic HTML control inside
to test it out.
To test it out. And if you look at the code, so you can write these in C# or in Node.js. It's pretty straightforward. So if I've never seen the user before, I'm going to say hello. And then I just go into a very simple echo loop where I just say, hey, what did you say? Oh, well, the thing that you just said, you know, Seth, you just said whatever was submitted.
Got it.
Right. And then just to kind of play around with this, I said, oh, if somebody submits the word code word, we'll actually return a poll back to the user.
Got it.
Right. And a poll is one of these things that kind of takes advantage of what's in the UI.
I see.
You know, and so, you know, in Facebook or in Skype, that'll actually kind of render as, you know, a button that you click.
Got it.
Now, the cool thing about that is what then comes back into the bot framework is, you know, you define what's the value that comes back. So it'll just text back, you know, A, you know, for option A.
So it's not too hard. And this is written in Node.
This is written in Node. Okay. You could just as easily write this in C#. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's super, super easy to get started. And then once this is up and running, here's where you'll see you can actually, you know, hook this up to Facebook Messenger. You can hook this up to Skype or Slack. Telegram with Twilio, you can get SMS messaging. So these are kind of all the different ways to do that. If none of those work for you, there's something called Direct Line, which is going to give you just a you know, a REST API that you can just program against. So we see people who want to embed a bot into their app. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will kind of go down that route. You know, for more kind of the enterprise corporate. If I've got a field technician out that's describing. You know, the scene that's in front of him, you know, he doesn't need to use Skype for that.
No.
Like, he can open up whatever app he's typically
sure.
using.
So let's talk about cognitive services. Where's
sure.
the website for that?
Sure. So there are a couple different ways to get these. So the first is if you just go to microsoft.com/cognitive, mm-hmm. This will take you in a couple things here. Let me just grab this text because this will become super handy in just a bit. What you'll see here, if I go under the APIs, this will actually list, I think there's 22 of them right mm-hmm. now. And almost all of these have a nice embedded experience on the website. So you can just say like text analytics, scroll down. I'm gonna take that text that I just put it copied.
You're angry.
Let's see. No, the landing text is 98% positive.
Oh, nice.
And so what this says is, hey, I'm pretty confident it's English. This will actually do language recognition on about 120 nice. Languages. There's varying support for kind of both key phrase and sentiment extraction. Mm-hmm. You know, we're adding more all the time. But then you'll see here, you know, these are the phrases that it's picked up out of this. Now, a lot of the use cases that we see for this are customers that have a bunch of user submitted content. They'll use something like text analytics up front to go get the key phrases and topics, and then they'll feed that into, you know, a more sophisticated machine learning pipeline.
I see.
Right? Because now they've got, hey, when for this user that submitted this text, we know they bought. So now we've got a labeled data set of these were the key things that they talked about in why they purchased, and they actually did purchase.
I see.
And so then you can start to do a little bit more interesting work in understanding your customers and trying to predict their behavior.
Well, this has been super cool. We've learned about bots. We've learned about how to hook it up to intelligence services. Why don't you talk a little bit more about this summit? Who's going to go to this? Is it a data science summit?
It's a data science summit, the Microsoft Data Science Summit.
Okay.
So if you are doing machine learning or data science, it'd be great to have you. You know, we're going to talk about a lot of the different capabilities that we've got. There's a ton of cool, exciting stuff that's happening around the company
Sure.
In this space. And, you know, so we'll talk about the services we've got. We're going to have a bunch of customers up on stage with us.
Nice.
To talk about customer stories. The fun thing about this is when you talk to the customers and kind of find out what they're doing, like, there's lots of people that are doing really, really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
I just heard yesterday about a company that is observing and trying to find failures in rurally deployed hardware with drones. So they're flying drones that are taking these pictures of things, and they're, you know, doing a bunch of machine learning on top of that to try and identify, oh, we need to send a technician way out, or no, we don't.
Or we'll send a robot.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Super exciting. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, Matt. Again, we learned today about bots. We learned about cognitive services. We talked about the Microsoft Data Science Summit that's happening at the end of September. There'll be a link below for you to go if you'd like, and hopefully we'll get some recordings of some of those things over there. Thanks so much for watching. It's been a pleasure. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Take care.